step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Hey, Joel Malkin for WJNO.com, and it is movie time. Well, kind of. not a whole lot going on for the New Year's weekend at the theaters, but we're going to check in anyway with Hap Burstein of PalmBeachArtsPaper.com. And I know that you've got your top 10 of 2020 right. We're going to get to in a little bit.
I mean, normally this would be a busy week because this would normally be the Oscar deadline for eligibility.
Yeah, but the key word is normal.
And, of course, it's been pushed by a couple of months.
Yeah.
But still, a couple of drips and drabs I'd like to talk about we haven't dealt with so far, and then we'll talk about the year.
Nothing has been normal, of course.
But Pixar, that wonderful animation studio, their holiday present to us, or at least to those of us with a Disney Plus streaming account, is called Soul. And, yeah, the title has several meanings. It's the story of a middle school band instructor named Joe Gardner, voiced by Jamie Foxx, he's an Oscar winner, whose dream is to play jazz piano. But just when he lands a gig with a famed jazz combo, he falls into an open manhole and lands in a coma, teetering somewhere between life and death. You know, Pixar loves to tell little kids about death. It's really weird. He wakes, sort of, to find himself in the great before, where unborn souls are assigned personality traits before birth. Huh. And Joe is assigned to mentor a tiny soul called 22, said to sound like a middle-aged white lady, perhaps because she's voiced by Tina Fey. Anyway, together they head to Earth, where Joe gets a body swap with 22, which endangers his chances at the jazz club job. Now, as usual, Pixar's animation visuals are stunning, part hyper-realistic and part jazzy abstract. Also, as usual for Pixar, Soul is packed with cerebral philosophy. I'm not sure what little kids will make of Soul, but I've always had that worry before, and they usually are entertained on some level, while adults should have plenty to think about. It's the first Pixar feature with a predominantly African-American cast. There's Fox, there's Angela Bassett, Felicia Rashad, David Diggs, some others, to name just a few. And it's got a terrific jazz music score, thanks to John Batiste, you know, the band leader of Stephen Colbert's show?
Hmm.
In all, it's a complete winner for Pixar. And you'll see in a few minutes, Soul is one of my 10 best for 2020.
I saw on social media, I think it was on Facebook, somebody was saying that they saw it, they thought it would be a little more fun than it was, and they thought it was more like Up, which obviously I never saw, but obviously a lot of folks thought Up, Disney's Up, was just an amazing movie.
Pixar's Up, yes. But it also is reminiscent of Inside Out, another Pixar film, which sort of talks about death and all the ways the soul gets squirted out. So it's clearly on their mind. It's by the same guy that directed Inside Out.
Why must you always correct me? Is there really that much of a difference in Pixar and Disney?
It's furthering your knowledge. It's not about correcting you. I never said you were wrong.
It's
slightly off kilter.
Disney's Pixar or whatever. Okay.
Well, there you go.
They're kind of two different companies, but they work in conjunction.
Exactly. One owns the other.
Right.
Anyway, but they do keep them separate. Also available on a streaming service, HBO Max in this case, is a breezy little film called Let Them All Talk, directed by Steven Soderbergh. You know, he said once recently he was going to stop making movies. I'm so glad he didn't. He's in kind of a tongue-in-cheek mood with a trio of terrific actresses, Meryl Streep, she's still a very promising up-and-comer, Diane Wiest, and Candice Bergen. Now, Streep plays a renowned novelist about to get a prestigious award in London, but because she won't fly, her publicist wangles her free staterooms on the Queen Mary 2 for herself and two college friends, Wiest and Bergen, that she hasn't spoken to in 30 years. And then there's her devoted nephew, played by Lucas Hedges of Manchester by the Sea. The friends try and figure out why they were invited along, while they also attempt to learn what the Streep character's next secretive book is all about. That's the mere framework of a plot, with these seasoned pros improvising all their dialogue as Soderbergh films on an actual transatlantic crossing. That's going to put additional challenges to him, but he doesn't seem to mind that at all. Let Them All Talk probably won't bring Streep yet another Oscar nomination, but it's clear she's having fun making the movie, and I think viewers will be well entertained, too. Let Them All Talk.
Speaking of talk, you were talking last week, and I kind of rudely interrupted you, which is,
no.
Which is somewhat common, almost as common as you correcting me. But you were mentioning that you think it'd be a different kind of January than in the past. Explain that.
We usually kick January because if you don't think you're up for Oscars, if you're not worthy of awards, then you don't open in December. You sort of go to the graveyard of January. Well, now the deadline is the end of February for the Oscars, so I think a lot of films will probably drip over into January and February, probably some of quality.
Yeah, because they want to put them out oftentimes when it was the end of December, and in most normal, quote-unquote, normal years, you'll see a lot of those movies come out in December, and I've always thought it was because the filmmakers wanted to be top of mind.
Certainly timing is a lot of it, and I think they think the Oscar voters don't have much memory. They do usually save their best for December. And a lot of good movies did come out this December, but I think there'll be January and February ones also.
One movie that you probably wouldn't probably aren't going to have in your top 10. I don't think you saw it. Was I saw two films over the Christmas break.
What'd you say?
Fatale with Hilary Swank.
Yeah.
It was okay. It was actually, I enjoyed it, but it wasn't anything I hadn't seen before. It was a thriller. She's nuts in the movie. She's a really good actress. I mean,
she's wonderfully scary in this. Yes.
Yes. It's got a 45% right now, Splattered Tomato. On Rotten Tomatoes, so I don't think it's on anybody's top 10.
That's a little harsh, yeah.
The other one that I saw that I actually, you might be surprised that I liked it as much as I did, Promising Young Woman.
Okay, I like that movie a lot.
I did, and I was surprised at how much I liked it, because, you know, you read a lot about it, a lot of the critics, you know, well, it's a, they just thought it was a feminist this, and it's a, the fact is, there are a lot of men who are pigs in this world.
Certainly get their comeuppance.
Yes.
I'm talk about this movie because it's number 10 on my 10 best list. But Carey Mulligan has absolutely got a lock on an Oscar nomination. She stars in this thing.
I enjoyed it. I wanted to share that with you that I did like it. I'm glad you thought that out.
As we say goodbye to 2020, and of course we say good riddance, for all the bad this year, don't forget that it also produced a lot of good movies. You ready to hear my picks for the 10 best of the year?
I already know what number 10 is.
Number 10, with open reverse order, is Promising Young Woman. Carey Mulligan is an angry former med student out for revenge against all the predatory men she's encountered. Mulligan's performance is just bound to get an Oscar nomination, and this first-time writer-director, Emerald Fennell, makes a very promising debut. She had been the showrunner for Killing Eve, done a lot of TV. Actually was an actress as well, but it's quite a debut by her. I think it's a sort of film that people will be talking about. I don't know what date night people will make of it. They'll probably break up lots of couples. But I think it might end, you know, like in op-ed comments when the columnists sometimes go to the movies and then want to talk about them. This is a lot to talk about in that movie.
I'm going
to
say something real, and I was impressed. One of the things that I was impressed about in this movie was that they didn't try to make it something it wasn't. So we don't know what she really did to the guy, and I don't think I'm spoiling anything. You know from the preview that she basically attacked men that, you know, that try to pick her up when she's pretending to be drunk. Okay, that's in the preview. I don't think that's a spoiler. But
is she unhinged as the men were?
Yes, but they don't. In most cases, you don't see what's happening, so they don't try to make it. Ooh, let's go ahead and make this a gory or whatever. We don't know what she's doing.
Exploitation film. Yeah,
right. We don't know what she's doing to them. We just know that she's getting some sort of revenge on them until the end, of course. And that's where I stop. All right. Let's move on.
So you didn't see the end of the movie?
Of course I did.
Oh, I see.
I don't want to give...
You don't want to give away the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very good.
Which was a surprising way they ended the movie.
Say no more.
I didn't think it was going there. But go on.
Number 9, One Night in Miami. This one's set in 1964 at a South Beach motel, a fictional account of an actual event which brought together boxing champ Cassius Clay, Nation of Islam leader Malcolm X, soul singer Sam Cooke, and football superstar Jim Brown for a night of camaraderie and conflict, fascinating look at celebrity, racism, and faith. Now, it's also a directing debut for Regina King, who was the Oscar winner for last year's If Beale Street Could Talk. It's based on a play, so it's kind of talky, but we've got a good cast, mostly actors I wasn't familiar with, including Leslie Odom Jr. He was a Tony winner in Hamilton. But stick with it, and it's just very compelling.
Hmm. All right.
Number 8.
By the way, you were saying that maybe there's a thought by filmmakers that that the Academy is short-sighted and doesn't have a good memory, but you just gave us two very recent ones.
Well, that's true, and there are more of that. The same.
All right, go ahead.
So I don't have much of a memory either. All right, here we'll go back a bit. The Glorias. An unconventional biography of feminist icon Gloria Steinem as she grew into womanhood and became a writer, activist, and advocate for women's rights. Steinem is played by several actresses, including Alicia Vikander and Julianne Moore, and is directed by the inventive Julie Taymor. So I guess I'm in a feminist mood. What can I tell you?
Yeah, all right.
Number 7. On the
that
rocks.
Was seven. Wasn't that seven?
That was 8.
9, 8. Oh, that was 8. Okay. All right. I thought you said it was number 7.
Keep the score?
I think I'm getting confused. Okay, go ahead. 8.
Yeah, those numbers are tricky. Number 7, On the Rocks. Writer-director Sofia Coppola, of course, she's the daughter of Francis Ford. She's been kind of had an erratic career. Some very good movies and some one you can keep. But when she gets together with Bill Murray, like she did in her debut film, Lost in Translation, 17 years ago. The results are terrific. This time, Murray plays the philandering father of Rashida Jones. She's the daughter of Quincy Jones. So there's a lot of family's deals here. She suspects her husband has been cheating on her. So Murray goes into full detective mode. It's a simple little picture, but very well written and very well played. Simple. Small
any
picture.
Any of Bill Murray's kids in it? I don't know. Maybe his brothers. Maybe one of his many brothers.
I think they probably, ran the craft services truck.
Yeah.
All right, number 6 is Soul. And as I mentioned earlier, Pixar is the top dog in sophisticated animated features. And its latest one is one of the studio's best. Jamie Foxx voices a middle school band teacher whose life takes a tragic turn just as he reaches his ultimate goal. Visually, musically, philosophically, this is a terrific movie. And the odds-on favorite for the Oscar.
Wait a minute. The Oscar for what? For Best Picture?
For Best Animated Feature.
Oh, I was going to say. Okay. All right. Go on.
Yeah, that counts. That's a real Oscar.
Yeah, I know. I was like, for Best Picture?
Oh, I just left it hanging a little bit there.
Okay.
Number 5, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Now, we lost the great Chadwick Boseman to colon cancer this year. But a large part of his legacy will be this final film, in which he plays an angry, ambitious backup horn player at a recording session of the mother of the blues, Gertrude Ma Rainey, played just with perfection by Viola Davis. It's based on a play by August Wilson, a microcosm of the race issues of 1920s America. I don't want to tell you where this one goes, but it's also got high impact late in the movie. Good movie overall.
And people are saying that Boseman's going to win the Oscar for that. I think you even said that.
I absolutely did. He's got some competition because of some very good male performances. A movie that just fell off my top 10 called The Father has Anthony Hopkins, guy drifting into dementia. He's probably the big competition. But, you know, how do you beat somebody who passed away? Mm. Anyway, number 4, Midnight Sky. George Clooney stars, directs, and produces a haunting post-apocalypse science fiction tale, playing a lonely scientist at a remote Arctic research station, trying to communicate with the crew of a returning space shuttle who are unaware of some unspecified disaster that's befallen the Earth. Now, this one was written and filmed long before the COVID pandemic, but it just feels right up to the minute. It's like a metaphor for COVID. Hello?
I'm here. I
number
was just waiting for number three. I didn't have a whole lot
number
to say
three.
About that one. It looks boring.
Okay, all right, I see. When you pause, I'll just keep going.
Yeah,
Nomad, Nomadland. Frances McDormand gives a towering performance as an aging, out-of-work woman named Fern, a victim of the Great Recession, who takes to the road in her unreliable van, taking temporary jobs, having temporary relationships, seeing America the desperate. Interestingly, it's directed by a Chinese-born woman, Chloe Zhao, with a powerful outsider's eye. This is really amazing. Frances McDormand, completely different than she was in Fargo. Unquestionably going to get an Oscar nomination for this one.
I just saw, is that even out? Because I just saw the preview for that when I went to see Promising Young Woman, I believe it was.
I thought it had arrived, but it might be a January for us.
That,
still sticking it in my time best.
My favorite of her, and she's done so much, and yes, Fargo was great, and I haven't seen it in so many years, but the three billboards outside of Ebbing, Missouri, whatever it was called, what a performance she did in that. So I mean, if she could top that, that would be something.
I think this is probably her best performance ever.
Interesting.
And she's in every scene. I mean, it's all about her character.
It almost looks like a documentary the way they have the preview.
Well,
I mean, I know
some of that is the sense of this is what's happening in the country now. Yeah.
Mm, okay. All right. What's number two?
Number two, Mank. Fearless filmmaker David Fincher, he's the guy that did The Social Network, Benjamin Button, so many of the great films, takes us back to the Hollywood of the early 1940s as cynical alcoholic Herman Mankiewicz takes on Tinseltown and takes on an assignment from Orson Welles to write what would become Citizen Kane, arguably the greatest film of all time. Now, the wonderful chameleon-like actor Gary Oldman, remember Oscar winner for the Churchill film just recently, he is superb in the title role of Herman Mankiewicz. It's in black and white, and it also has kind of a documentary feel to it. But if you know Citizen Kane, you'll get a sense of the visuals being kind of an homage to it. Very clever film.
That's interesting. Gosh, you are such a critic. You like those... artsy type
well,
of
we movies. We like movies
so.
About movies, that's for sure.
Number one, is this going to be a real artsy film?
It's not. It's okay. Not. It's going to be
right.
A political film. The Trial of the Chicago 7 is my number one pick for the year. It's another time capsule drama, this one from the incomparable writer-director Aaron Sorkin, who takes us back to 1969 when seven diverse, larger-than-life individuals were charged with inciting the violence outside the Democratic National Convention the previous year. Sorkin's usual hyper-articulate dialogue turns us into a first-rate courtroom drama and a history lesson, populated by a stellar ensemble that includes Mark Rylance, Eddie Redmayne, Sacha Baron Cohen. Sacha Baron Cohen is a very good actor.
Huh.
You know, we think of him obviously just for the Borat stuff, but when he wants to, he can be quite legitimate. He's very good here.
I mean, he's got to be a good actor. I mean, you know, you could poo-poo Borat all you want, but for him to be able to pull
that performance
off with people, you know, in the public, and
I mean, it is a talent of its own sense. I'm not sure it's acting.
Yeah, yeah,
but,
okay.
Well, of course, it's acting. That's not him. But I love more
I know
when he isn't
saying.
Playing
yeah.
that character.
A traditional acting in a traditional sense.
Right.
So,
right.
Huh. Okay.
Well, so what comes to mind of movies I left off that you have enjoyed? Anything?
Gosh,
at all?
I can't. I have to think back.
What's the best slasher film of the year?
You know, have there been that many?
I've seen none of them.
The one, and I'm forgetting the name of it already. So that was that's the most recent one that I saw was with Vince Vaughn playing the killer. It was from the Happy Death Day people.
Right, right.
And Freaky. I think it's called Freaky.
Yes.
I mean, I enjoyed it.
Not to be confused with Freaky Friday.
I can't think of any movies this year that were like, to me, just, oh my God, that was great. I think just because the year sucked in general, Maybe it's just the way that I've colored everything.
I can understand if movies were not your focus for the year. There are a couple other things going on. But
just a few, yeah.
Do me a favor and see The Trial of Chicago 7. I'm pretty sure it's available now on Netflix.
Okay.
It's stunning.
I have Netflix and I never use it, so I might as well, right? If I could just get a little time to do that, but I'll have New Year's Day off, so perhaps, you know,
people don't mind, just keep paying them.
It was something that wasn't on your radar, I guess, was something, and I would think it would be right along your maybe not for your top 10, but along your style.
Go ahead.
A Pinocchio adaptation, an Italian Pinocchio adaptation that's been out just recently, brand new for this year.
I'm embarrassed to say I didn't see it.
It's interesting. Oscar winner Robert Benigni as Geppetto.
Roberto.
Oh, yeah, Roberto. I'm sorry, Roberto.
I don't like to correct you, but Roberto.
Roberto, yes. Anyway, Carlo Collodi's classic fantasy tale. This is a new cinematic. Okay, it's Matteo Garrone's adaptation of the story. Anyway. It's in theaters right now. So you know those things that they used to have.
I've heard of theaters. Yes,
you'd sit.
I yearn to be back in theaters.
Did you say urine? Because sometimes I think I put my feet in some. But
okay.
Anyway, I saw this was out. It looks very slow and boring. So I'm thinking, Hap will love it.
That's it. That's me. Roberto Benigni, of course, is the Oscar winner for Life is Beautiful. And I thought he was making this years ago.
It says 2020 on it, so...
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, yeah. Might want to look into
it. Acquired taste, let's put it that way.
You might want to look into it. Really, you say that January we've got some stuff coming, but I don't see anything on the radar for, like, next week.
Well, the only thing I know for sure is that my art house pick next week, it's the title is Something About Heaven. It's a documentary about the Villages. You know the Villages up a little above Orlando?
Uh-huh.
This huge senior community, and they investigate it, and they sort of celebrate it, but they also find some pretty sad stories inside. I'll talk about that next week, and I'll probably find something more mainstream, too.
All right. Well, we'll see. Maybe you should just go see Pinocchio. Go to a theater. Buy some popcorn.
Oh, not the popcorn. The popcorn is probably infected.
I know that it's playing in Port St. Lucie. You're not driving up there, but I have
not. You got
I'm living in Martin County and I want to go to a theater. I have two choices with Regal being closed. Let's see. What's your let's put in a zip code here. 33407. I'll put in the radio station theater.
Okay.
We don't want to give out people we don't want to give your zip code out.
People so we got come after me.
We got, okay, we have, let's see, where's Pinocchio? Come on. Oh, there it is. It's playing at, it's playing at Cobb in Palm Beach Gardens, or formerly Cobb, the CMX. It's playing
something
at
further south?
Rosemary Square.
All right, that's perfect.
So, yeah, Pinocchio, it's playing in a lot of theaters, so you should get out and check it out. You won't, because you have to pay.
Right, and I don't have the vaccine yet.
New critics.
Well, if they give a screening, then there haven't been a screening in 9 months.
You have to wait till you're over 65, then you can get the vaccine.
in the same way that you're not giving out my address, I'm not giving out my age. But I'm in line. Let's put it that way. A happy New Year, Joel.
Yes.
Maybe I'll talk to you next week. Maybe I'll get over the insults you've spewed at me.
You love the attention.
It's true.
Yeah. All right. We'll chat. Happy New Year, and get the heck out of here, 2020.
2021. We're looking forward to it. Wow.
Hey, guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing, and now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun, Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.